The following content has been provided by New St. Andrews College in Moscow, Idaho. For more information, visit us online at www.nsa.edu.
So, disputatio of the day, we have SRO leading our time. So, handing over to you, Christian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to SRO Disputatio. We're really excited to be here and to give you guys some info and some updates on our outreach over the past year or so. I'm going to give you a quick intro as far as what we are and what we do and who we are, rather, for those of you who don't know. And then we're going to jump right in to some recent stuff that we've been doing. So we're going to have some people up here come up. So we are Students for the Relief of the Oppressed, or SRO. As you know, this is a picture of us. Boom. There it is. We've got lots of pictures today, so get ready. You probably know us from events we do around town, like leaf raking. We're a student-led organization and a commended ministry of TRC, Trinity, here in Moscow. And our mission, in a nutshell, is to provide students at NSA ways to get into the community, ways to get involved in the Moscow community here, which in turn allow us as students to look to our global church community and help them and support them. So we do that by rallying troops of us to do service here in Moscow. And Justin's going to tell you a lot about that, all the things that we do and ways that we're trying to do more. Justin will tell you about that. But the main thing, what we want to do is stress the here-ness of SRO, that we're here in Moscow, that we want to be involved here, changing community here. We're not just a figurehead raising money and sending it away, that we're using our resources here, using students that we have and energy and extra time, because we have lots of extra time. But using that and putting ourselves to work for our global church. And the biggest thing that we do on a weekly basis is our prayer meeting, and that's what we want to stress to you guys as kind of our biggest, our biggest thing, because it's a really, really great weekly reminder to think about us in Moscow in the perspective of the world and of persecuted Christians around the world. That just helps us get outside of our bubble and thinking really small. So that's kind of our biggest weekly thing. So what we have for you today, Justin's going to come up and tell you about the recent additions to our outreach here in Moscow and easy ways that you can get involved. Danielle is going to give us a quick blurb on the church in Kenya that we have a connection with. Joseph is going to come up and talk about some missionaries in Vietnam that we just recently sent money to. And finally, Pastor Sumter is going to come up and talk about his very recent trip to Ukraine and what he did there. And he was with some people that we sent money to, so he's going to give you some, has a lot of pictures from that and tell you about that and give us an exhortation as students. So, Justin.
Hey, everyone. So, yeah, as Christian just said, he told you a lot about how SRO reaches out to both our Moscow community here as well as a lot of other Christian communities around the world. And he also touched on how we as students can come together and help these communities, and our two main ways of doing that is through prayer and fundraising. And I'm actually here to talk to you guys about a new way, well, it's not necessarily new, it's new to SRO, that we can help our Moscow community here. And this way has both a unique impact for those who are serving as well as those who are served. So basically, for quite a few years, students have been weekly going to one of three nursing homes here in Moscow. So that's Good Samaritan Society, Aspen Park, and Clark House. And while each of these locations ministries are run somewhat differently, all three of them contain two major aspects, which is where you sing with the residents and then you visit with them. Each one does those in different orders, depending on the leader. So generally, there's probably a different night for each ministry, so that's just to enable all of us who have varied schedules to be able to go choose which one, whichever one fits our schedule best. While this ministry has been carried out for many years before our time, it's new to SRO, like I said. We noticed that, unfortunately, there's been a decline in attendance to these ministries, while our prayer and our fundraising events have been really ramping up. So we were hoping that we could help this out, so we deliberated as a board, and after carefully examining whether or not this ministry fits under our mission statement, we unanimously decided that yes, it does, and we would take it under our wing. And we did this in hopes not to take away from the really good work that students who are currently going to these nursing homes, not to take away from their work, but instead in hopes that we would bolster attendance and then hope to show that the value of them. So SRO's mission is taken from Isaiah 1:17, which is learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. And that's exactly what we're striving to do in this service. Many of these residents are widows. Many of them don't have families that visit them regularly. And that's why we attempt to provide a weekly platform for these residents to dust off their vocal cords and commune with fellow believers. Now, one might ask, why would I go to a nursing home once a week when I could instead pray for actual persecuted Christians around the world, when I could instead donate my money to those who risk their lives every day for Jesus? True, these residents aren't being openly persecuted for their faith. They don't wake up fearing for their lives just because they own a Bible. However, it is important to remember that oppression can manifest itself in many different ways. So while SRO fights to relieve mortal, violent, and exploitive oppression for our brothers and sisters around the world, there's another type of oppression right here in town that affects our elderly. While we are blessed to live in such a vibrant Christian community, such as Moscow, many of the residents of Good Sam's, Aspen Park, and Clark House are sheltered from it. They don't receive the benefits of good, godly preaching and fellowship every Sunday. They don't enjoy the company of other believers through parish groups or hospitality. They don't enjoy or have the freedom or opportunity to sing with the saints every month at psalm sings or church gatherings. Now, I'm not saying that every nursing home is a godless prison where residents are treated with contempt. Many contain really good, godly, caring nurses who work in these homes to provide the best care possible, and many of these residents have family that visit them regularly and weekly. But unfortunately, this isn't true for all nursing homes and all residents. So what I am saying is that we have been placed in a unique and wonderful position which allows us to become stewards of God's grace to these residents, bringing them the love of Christ that is so often lacking in their day-to-day lives. So if you're interested at all in aiding SRO's cause, then please consider serving through this ministry at one of our three facilities. While it might be awkward to talk to a resident who can't remember meeting you 5 minutes ago, or who can barely communicate a single thought, let alone respond or hear what you're saying, it's for those exact reasons that they're living where they are, and it's for those exact reasons that we want to go and we want to serve them. Further, not only is it a great blessing to the residents to talk and sing with them, but it's also a really great blessing to yourself to just go and hear incredible stories about their visits to Africa, Asia, Europe, how they used to sing on the radio, or how they used to train horses for the rodeo. So few homework assignments can trump this hour of your week to honor the elderly in our community, just as few feelings overshadow the joy you get when a resident can't stop talking about the last time you were there and how they couldn't wait until you would come back. So again, if any of you are interested in serving in this way, please contact myself, anyone on the SRO board, Emma Cooper, or Joshua Roberts. It'd be really great if we could pack out all the nursing homes next week. Thank you.
Hi, okay, so for the next several minutes, Joseph and I will be giving you an update on the past two donations that SRO has made. So through an NSA alum, SRO received information about Pastor Ronald Kogo and his congregation Grace Baptist Church in Nairobi, Kenya. Along with their regular weekly services, Grace Baptist Church provides a variety of ministries to the believers and outreaches to the non-believers. So the first, there's a map of Kenya right there. So the first of these ministries that they offer is a pastor's conference, an annual pastor's conference. So this annual pastor's conference, this past August, the theme was on family. And so it centered around teaching on family. And it started with teaching on the Trinity and on how that's the foundation for all family relationships. And then it went on to talk about marriage and then the child-parent relationship. So many of the pastors who come to these conferences have received little to no information or teaching on these subjects. And so the opportunity for them to get to have this Christian teaching is gratefully received. So the second ministry they offer is an annual VBS. Grace Baptist Church hosts it every August. So here's the kids. Sorry, it's kind of blurry. But so this past August, they averaged about 100 children who came daily, which they were very grateful for that number. So they came to hear stories of Jesus and miracles from the Gospels. So Pastor Kogo asked that we be praying for these children, that the word of God that was spoken to them leads them to salvation. So finally, Grace Baptist Church launched a Bible Institute in January of 2013, and this picture is the original four graduates with fantastic stoles, if I say so myself. And so the courses studied included basic Christian living and covenant theology, pastoral counseling, and marriage and family courses. By God's grace, the Institute has grown to 17 students this coming year. So Pastor Kogo asks that we be praying for God to provide a library of Christian materials for these students who are training to be pastors and church leaders. So for several months prior to initial contact, or post-initial contact with Pastor Kogo, SRO, we've been praying for them at the weekly meetings, the Wednesday morning meetings, prayer meetings. And so last fall, the fall of 2015, we received information about a need they had for shipping of hymnals and donated computers to Nairobi, Kenya. So this was right around the time of the leaf raking fundraiser that you just saw a picture of. So with the money raised from that event, we were able to provide the necessary means for shipping those hymnals. So in each newsletter sent out, Pastor Kogo includes a request for Christian materials, both songbooks and Christian books. And so it's kind of difficult for us who have incredible access to teaching and Christian books to imagine what it would be like to come to church on a Sunday morning to Christ Church or Trinity and to have no hymnals and to have to share Bibles. But that's a reality for them on a weekly basis. So with your help, we were able to help meet this need for Christian materials. And we just want to thank you for your involvement and ask you to continue to be praying for Grace Baptist Church in Nairobi, Kenya. Thank you.
So I get to tell you the exciting story, Vietnam. You probably heard the name Vietnam or saw the chalkboard at the ball that our donation was going to go to Vietnam. So we wanted to give you a little bit of background, what is going on there, and who are our contacts there. So there you have a beautiful map of Vietnam, and is right next to China, it's on top of it. And Vietnam is one of the four countries in the world that is one-party socialist state, which means that when you go to vote, there is one person you can vote for instead of two. So, very different. So Vietnam is the 18th country with the most religious persecution in the world today. The government denies that it does not allow religious freedom. So they do have allowed churches, but they have to go through a process to become an approved church. And the process is very complicated, and most of the churches there get denied, which means that most of the churches are underground. So if you go to the next slide, even though Vietnam is a socialist country, practically it is capitalist. So people are able to go to markets and buy food, for example, is not the socialist ideals. So it's actually a prospering country, but they do face persecution. If you can notice, most of the people are wearing helmets for their mopeds, and that is their main way of transportation. And actually, one of the main prayer requests from missionaries in Vietnam is, pray for us as we deal with traffic every day, because that is how their lives are threatened most, just in, you know, getting from their homes to a seminary. But there's also religious persecution, and that's what I'm going to tell you about. Missionaries in Vietnam are not connected to any official organization, since they wouldn't be able to get into the country that way. So they enter the country at their own risk. The missionaries we are in contact with are Kevin and Linda. I'm not going to tell you their last name because of those issues. So to give you a better idea of what they face when they're there, I'll read you an excerpt from their newsletter. This is what they send out to their supporters. It says, "The authorities are downstairs. These chilling words were whispered into my ear as I taught pastors in what the government considered an illegal meeting. The threat was real. I later learned that the official downstairs hated Christians and was directly responsible for several pastors languishing in prison. My immediate problem, no escape route." If you want to know the rest of the story, I can give you the newsletter, but I'm going to leave it there, just let you hang in suspense. So because of this, we also don't have pictures of Christians there, because they can come back to the country. The government's always looking for ways to find who the Christians are underground and send them to prison or retrieve more information from them. For this reason, the organization that they're with, their name is TEACH. And it's an acronym that means teaching, or the Mission of Teaching, Evangelism, and Church Helps Incorporated. But they just go by TEACH, and that's how the Vietnam government recognizes them. So it's very ambiguous. Their mission statement is also ambiguous for that reason, as the mission of TEACH is to provide organizational and administrative support for teachers, evangelists, and other church helpers involved in cross-cultural ministry prioritizing the suffering of the church. Our face to the world is a global network of educators serving communities. Our primary service is providing Christian higher education to the persecuted suffering church. Our secondary purpose is evangelism and church helps. Encompasses the wide variety of ministries that may be conducted by ordained or non-ordained itinerant missionaries in cross-cultural settings. So Kevin and Linda go to Vietnam 4 times a year, and they teach at a seminary just basic Bible classes, because in Vietnam they don't have Bibles, they don't have Christian textbooks, and so they take those funds that people send to them, and they're able to print them there. And for some reason, they don't have any trouble with people printing Christian textbooks in the area, as long as they're in a different language. So that's a way to get in. Kevin and Linda are currently in Vietnam right now, and I wanted to thank you all, because the SRO dance last week provided the money that they took to buy 500 textbooks that they're using in the seminary today. And they sent a little thank you to all of you. They said, "We are so honored to have a part in the growth of the body here in Vietnam. By coming beside those who grow others, that they might rightly divide the word, What you've given to is helping the body here to better instruct and serve many others in the body. We have knowledge and resources, but they have faith and resolve." So the church in Vietnam is growing strong, but they do lack literature and they do lack resources. So that's where we were able to come in and provide them with that. Also, currently we're working out details so that a few people can go with them to Vietnam. If any of you are interested, you can contact me. It'd be more of a shadowing them and seeing what the underground church is like in Vietnam. And that's all I have for you, so Pastor Sumter.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the invitation, SRO board, and it's good to be here. Good to be sharing with you. I did just get back at the beginning of the month from Ukraine. It was fortuitous. I wasn't aware of the fact that SRO was supporting several of the medical needs of some of the pastors in Ukraine. And then when I got the email just a few days ago from Christian telling me some of the specific people that you all had supported, I know them. So it was they really exist. So it's a delight. So the plan is I took some pictures, and so some of this is just I'll tell you about what I was doing there in Ukraine. First slide. So it's a little bit hard to see the contours of this map. But you can see some of the words. But the red dot there is Lviv, which is in the far western Ukraine, and that's where I flew into. I arrived there on a Saturday afternoon and was met at the airport. There was a group of folks from the CREC church in Langley, British Columbia, Pastor Gary Vanderveen, and several guys from his church, and Pastor San Sanich, who's one of the main pastors in Ukraine. They met me at the airport there. We drove a couple hours south to a town called Ivano-Frankivsk, and there is a CREC church plant there. And spent the night there, had church Sunday morning with them. That was the first time I've ever spoken through an interpreter, and it was fine. It went okay. But it was actually fun. One of the great gifts of following a traditional Reformed liturgy is that even though you don't know what they're saying, you pretty much know what they're saying, right? You know where you are in the service. Oh, this is the confession of sin part. This is the assurance of forgiveness. The hymns that they're singing, even some of them were tunes that we use. I don't know what psalm or hymn they were singing, but me and a few of the Canadians sang along with English words that we knew. So it was sort of like, speaking in tongues. That's very blurry. Keep going. That's a city. There's a horse-drawn cart. You see that randomly across the street. Here is everybody at the camp. So we went Sunday afternoon, drove in a tour bus out into the mountains, the foothills of the Carpathian Mountains, another couple hours south and a little bit, I guess that's west. All of western Ukraine used to be Poland, and so there's a bunch of old cross-pollination between Poles and Ukrainians. In fact, two Polish CREC churches came down to this youth camp, and there were five Ukrainian churches represented at this youth camp. I think there were in the neighborhood of like 60 or so kids. This is high school and college age students from all these CREC churches. And I think it was a great time. It was the first one, and they're hoping for it to be an annual event. But in some ways, kind of like coming to school like NSA, where you get to meet people from all over the country, all over the world, in fact, with similar values and interests and so on, and the encouragement that is. It's a similar thing for them for this few days. So we were there starting Sunday night, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there was teaching in the morning, and then the afternoons was games and activities. And then we all headed out on Thursday. Next slide. This is one of the lodges that we were in. This is the room that we're in. We're teaching. That's Pastor Gary Vanderveen up there speaking. It's actually kind of crazy. So the main language was Ukrainian, but you have the Polish kids there, and so actually as we were speaking, it's getting translated into Ukrainian for most of the people. But then this guy right here in the oak chair in the picture, that's Pastor Bubu. Pastor Bubu from Poland is translating into Polish here in the back for the Polish kids. So there's sort of this echo of Ukrainian and Polish going on, and it was grand. Next slide. Here's just another picture of the area. I told him it was actually so that blue dot. I don't know actually what you can see out there. But this is a zoom in of Ukraine. You can see Lviv, and I'm way down there. You can see Ivano-Frankivsk maybe faintly. keep going. Can't remember what I was going to say. Here their kids are trying to play games. They don't speak the same language. So you got English, Ukrainian, Polish. Russian is even a little bit different. There's one woman from Japan as well. So you got, and they played their games in English, but it was still funny to watch them try to communicate. Keep going. This is Pastor Sen Senich and his wife, Ala. He's one of the main lead pastors in, that's a great smile, isn't it? He really does smile like that all the time. Here they are trying to play a game. Keep going. Mushrooms. They went out for a hike to get fresh mushrooms. I was a little bit nervous about this. Here's our dining hall. We ate together, breakfast, lunch, dinner. And then in the evenings, we'd meet and hang around the campfire. Pastor Boo Boo is cooking something there with those mushrooms that he picked. And there we go. The shot. It turned out it was brilliant. It was really good. Here we are. I think this is the last day singing a hymn together. And there might be a couple more shots here. Here's all the pastors. Over here on the right behind me, this pastor is Volodya is the pastor from Mykolaiv, and this is the pastor who I think we helped with an eye treatment. Is that right? Okay. So Mykolaiv is down on the Black Sea. And his wife was actually the main interpreter for all of us speakers. Sen Senich is there behind him. Ihor is to his left. He's the pastor of Ivano-Frankivsk. Andrei in the middle is pastor from Poland, along with Pastor Bubu. There, Gary Vanderveen is in the red from Canada. And then Alex is Polish gentleman who actually lives in London now and worships at Emmanuel Evangelical, where we also have friends. Next slides. There's a cow. Never seen one of those before. You'd be driving down the road, and Ukraine is one of the poorest countries in Europe, right up there with Albania, where Dr. Atwood is headed. Top five, I think, poorest countries in Europe. And you're driving along, and first of all, one thing is strangely, there were places where it reminded me a lot of the Palouse. You have rolling wheat fields. There's wheat fields everywhere. It's called the breadbasket of Europe, and which is, in fact, why Hitler and Stalin took turns grabbing it to feed all their soldiers, and why it's been run over so many times and why it's in a bad place now, but then you have this. There's a lot of places in Ukraine where you would say, "I bet that used to be nice." So you're driving, "I bet that used to be nice," but it's run down, windows broken out, remodel sort of in process, but you're not really sure if it's been, the remodels going forward. And then out of nowhere, you'll turn a corner and you'll run into one of these gold-plated, cathedrals, or on many street corners, a pure gold shrine of the Virgin Mary. So it's like, fields and broken down houses and then a golden shrine on a street corner. That's a Ukrainian Orthodox church. There are actually three warring factions of Ukrainian Orthodox churches in Ukraine. Ukraine is the second largest location for Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Christians in the world. There are Ukrainian Orthodox who are actually in communion with the Pope. There are Ukrainian Orthodox that are in communion with Russia, and there are Ukrainian Orthodox who are in communion with nobody. Go figure that out. They don't tend to get along very well. Anyways, all mixed up with politics, and they're building these kinds of things all over the place while there's intense poverty all over the nation. All right, I don't know if there's, what else? There we go, okay, that was it. So that was my, just a really quick overview of my trip to Ukraine and the connections there that we have with the Christians there. And SR asked me just to give a brief exhortation to you all as you think about these Christians in Kenya, Vietnam, Ukraine, others, I want to use what Paul says in Ephesians 4 just really quickly as a way to just point my exhortation to you this afternoon. So Ephesians 4 says this. I'm going to read several verses here, but just listen. Paul says, "I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. And in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? And he who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Just really quickly, a couple of things to notice here. First of all, the first part is Paul affirming a certain kind of unity that already exists. He says there is one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. But he says grace has been given to each one according to Christ's gift when he ascended into heaven. And the first thing he gave was different kinds of leaders. Right, there's apostles and there's evangelists and there's shepherds and there's teachers. And he gave those leaders for the building up of the body so that we would attain to the mature unity of the faith, to the fullness of Christ. So he's talking about a unity that we already have, but then from that unity, we're to grow up into a kind of maturity, and that maturity is an additional kind of unity. And that maturity, though, is marked by no longer being children who are tossed to and fro by waves and carried around by human cunning and craftiness. That's a certain kind of child. There's a kind of childishness, a kind of ignorance, a kind of instability. That's an immaturity, and maturity moves beyond that. Wisdom moves beyond that. Instead, this maturity is marked by speaking the truth in love to one another, and that speaking the truth to one another is what causes the whole body to grow up into the head who is Christ. And this growing takes place when every part of the body is working properly and makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So all the parts of the body doing their parts is what causes the body to grow. And if some parts of the body are not doing their parts, then the body doesn't grow. We don't grow, and we don't grow into maturity. Rather, we remain immature, we remain childish, and we are continue to be tossed to and fro. The very simple application and exhortation I want to make today is that you can't grow up into wisdom and maturity apart from the body of Christ. You can't grow up into wisdom and maturity apart from the body of Christ. This unity and love is always at least local. It's always at least local. It begins locally. We're always limited by our finitude. And there's only so many hours in the day, so you can't literally, physically know every saint that is alive right now, right? Good luck. You can't do that. But to the extent that God allows for us to know and bless other members of the body more broadly and internationally, Paul is saying this is how we grow up into wisdom and maturity. And to not be in communion and fellowship and to seek the good and welfare and be blessed by the broader body of Christ is in some extent, to that extent, we are remaining in immaturity. Here's another way to say this. Human nature is naturally self-centered. right? You're naturally self-centered. I'm naturally self-centered. But Jesus was revealed, and Jesus has revealed that that way to be the way of despair and death, right? Self-centeredness is the way of despair and death. But if we deny ourselves, if we lose our lives, and we find our meaning and hope and identity in Jesus, we ultimately find ourselves. So the exhortation is to look up, look out, look around. Understood rightly, this is what a liberal arts education is all about. You're being invited to look around. Look at the world around you. Get to know many people in the history of the world. But don't stop there, right? Don't stop there with books. Look at the needs of your roommates. Consider them more important than your own. Don't stop there. Look to the needs of the saints in our community, around you, in the churches you're from, and the churches you're a part of now. Consider how you might serve and help. Why? So you can grow up, right? So that you can grow up, so that you can grow up into wisdom, so you can grow up into the full stature, which is Christ. But don't stop there. Look outside of our local community, our nation. Consider the needs of the saints in Vietnam, in Kenya, in Ukraine, and around the world. And this is not merely because you are God's gift to the world. Yes, you have gifts that God has given you to share, but this is because you need others in order to grow up. When Justin was talking earlier, I'll just tell you a quick story in closing about the ministry in the nursing homes. I think it's a great example of step out of your bubble. Look out around you. Look outside and be blessed by the body of Christ. A number of years ago, there was a gentleman at Trinity named Jim, and one of our members had visited Aspen Park and brought him to church. And it was right around the same time that I was called back to Trinity to be one of the pastors here. And I met him and began visiting him in the nursing home. And he taught me how to play pinochle, which I don't remember how to play anymore. But Jim was a single man. He'd never been married, never had children, had some distant relatives somewhere around here, but was rarely seen by them. He had had a stroke at some point and could barely speak, had a very thick speech impediment, couldn't walk very well, used a walker. He was very awkward and difficult in many ways to communicate with and so on. But as I got to know him and what little I could understand from his story, it would be summarized with him explaining to me. Occasionally he would, in between rounds or hands of pinochle or other things, he would look at me and he would say, "Toby," and he would talk with a really thick, "Toby, I used to be so angry." He would tell me that. And he said, "Now that I'm at your church, I'm happy." And I'd try to, understand why, what happened. And we would talk, and I would read scripture with him, and we would talk about the gospel, and he would nod vigorously, and now I'm happy. And I remember he eventually had another stroke. It was at Gripman. I went and visited him one Sunday after church and came in, and he said, "I don't know if I'm going to die or I'm going to live." And he said, "Toby, I'm so happy." And it was one of those times where, as a pastor, you're going there to try to minister to him, and you leave the room and you realize that, like, he just ministered to me, right? I was the one trying to bring him encouragement. And then just a couple days later, he went back to Aspen Park, and I went to see him and pray with him, and it was clear at that point that he was dying, and he hadn't eaten for a few days and hadn't drank or anything, and he couldn't speak anymore. But as I was there praying with him, he woke up and looked at me, and I had eye contact with him, and one of the last things I asked him before I left as I prayed for him was, "Jim, are you still happy?" And looked at me, locked eyes on me, and shook his head fiercely. And he died the next day. But that's one of the things that God has given me through being pulled out of my comfort zone and doing something that feels sort of strange and awkward and difficult. And that's right here in Moscow. And there are many opportunities to be pulled out of your comfort zone through getting to know saints in Vietnam and Kenya and Ukraine. Look up. Look around. Don't be self-centered. Don't be self-focused. Look up. As you look up, God promises to grow you up and teach you wisdom. Amen. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Pastor Sumter. In closing, I want to thank Graham Summers and Cooper. They made this technically perfect, which is hard to do. So thank you, guys.
New St. Andrews College, thanks you for listening.